I grew up in Throgs Neck in the Bronx in the 60s. We played outside all the time, and the houses all had porches on them, so all the older people would be sitting out, and the kids would be running around on the street playing games. It was also scary in the Bronx at night, even though the neighborhood was safe. There was a large city housing project there. The woman who owned the liquor store shot a guy robbing the store. This is all part of growing up in the Bronx, and it's perfectly safe except when these things happen. It was strictly a very ethnic neighborhood. If you weren't Italian or Irish, we didn't know who you were. Some Hispanic people moved in, people from Puerto Rico and stuff. It turns out the guy who became my best friend, half Puerto Rican, half Haitian. And as you live somewhere for a long time, you have different friends, different backgrounds. I think it makes you more open-minded. I started working in the World Trade Center in 86. First in number one World Trade Center, and then we moved to number two World Trade Center. Now, let's fast forward to September 11th, 2001. The first thing I always remember was what kind of day it was. The sky was crispy blue, it was beautiful. It was so clear, pilots call it severe clear. The other thing, it was unusual in a couple of ways. Think about it, approximately 50,000 people worked in the complex. That day, there were a lot fewer people there, and it was noticeable. First, it was actually the primary election day for New York City. Also, a lot of people took their kids into school. It was the first day of school for New York City children. More importantly, Monday Night Football started that Monday night. The New York Giants played the Denver Broncos. The game went late and everything, so people came in late. Myself, my train was actually late, so I didn't get to work till about closer to 8:30. I went up to the 72nd floor like I always did, sat down at my desk. A young woman, her office faced number one World Trade Center, and she walks around, and she's really like frantic almost. She's telling us North Tower is on fire. So my friend Kathy and I, we were looking at each other, oh, what's going on? So then I get the brilliant idea. Morgan Stanley had built a new building at 47th Street and Broadway. I said, let's go check out our new building. Let's go, we're going uptown. Everyone, oh, road trip, everyone's kind of happy. It's beautiful outside. Even though there's no fire in the building, we don't know. We go to the stairwells. The stairwells are crowded. And I said, let's take the elevator down. And we get on the elevator in the 72nd floor. Everyone's joking around and stuff. No one knows what's going on. The sky lobby was on the 44th floor. And it's like a lobby in a building with more elevator banks. So you get off there and you change elevators. Well, when we get to the 44th floor, it's very eerie. It's almost quiet. And there's hundreds of people there, but a very hush kind of sound. No one knows what's going on. The public address system goes on telling us that building two is secure. Please go back to your offices. I often say I could only tell the story because I didn't go back and sit down. One young man who went back up to call his wife. His name is on the memorial now. A lot of people questioned why they said that, but if you think about it, one, who's going to think a second plane is coming? Two, it's really dangerous at this point to go outside because from that North Tower, the glass is falling, debris is falling, police and fire, they don't need more people out there, and it's dangerous for us to get out of the building. And sadly, people had already started jumping. The first New York City firefighter that was killed was hit by a falling body. We look at each other and say, let's go. And we started walking down the stairs. All of a sudden, the building, I mean, it shakes. You couldn't stand up. You're holding on. You know, you just think of a plane hitting that. It shook violently. The lights blinked on and off and everything. People are scared now. And you remember how they talked about New York City changing after 9/11? To me, it started in the stairwell. That exact moment in time, 8:46 a.m., and the one thing I'll never forget is there was no panic, really. The first thing you heard people say, don't run, walk. And everyone's going, anybody need help? People just became so much more humane. Finally, we get down to the lobby of the building. You can't walk out the door. Why? Things are falling down. You can't get outside the building. I had to walk around inside the perimeter to go downstairs. We're walking past the windows that look out into the plaza. We look outside, saw stuff on the ground, you know. It wasn't until later that somebody told me what it was. It was a body. finally get outside through another entrance that lets us out further away from the buildings. And I turn around, it was unbelievable. The smoke coming out from both towers, and there was a hand on the ground. We wanted to get away from there. The street is so crowded with people. You know, everyone's looking up there, and a lot of people have friends up there. And we decide we're getting away from there. So we get on the subway, still running, amazingly. There's a kid there with a boombox, and he's sort of like ranting about buildings and planes and stuff. We thought he was insane. So we get to 49th Street, we get out, we walk down 49th Street, we come up to the building, and we get right in front of the building, and it's like a mob of people walking out of the buildings. We decide we have to go in, so we better make some phone calls. And we went into the conference room, there's some phones around, we're making phone calls, and we look at the TV monitor that's there, and we see our building number 2 collapsing. We go into shock at that point. We can't believe we walked out of there.